Welcome to the third week of our series for the season of Lent. We're calling it Believe and Receive, because Jesus once said, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it and it shall be yours. And so in this series, we're taking a deep dive into the power of prayer. And so far, we've learned that God wants us to pray with a sense of possibility, not with small, weak, limited prayers, but with bold prayers, prayers that demonstrate our trust in God's promises and his power. And then last week, we said we should also pray with perspective. Perspective, because one of the problems with prayer is that we can sometimes lose perspective, can't see the bigger picture, and become frustrated. When you're stressed, upset, struggling to see how God is working in your life, that's when you need to pray with a different and new point of view. Ask God to show you how everything you're going through in that moment is actually connected to and part of his larger plan. Today I want to talk with you about pray with purity. Studies show that most people pray. In fact, 4 out of 5 Americans say that they pray at least once a week. They pray for their own needs and the needs of their families and friends. They seek guidance in a time of crisis. They ask God for healing during a time of sickness or to keep them safe in their daily activities and in their travels. They want peace during the day and better sleep at night and all kinds of good things. Better sleep at night and freedom from anxiety and worry. They ask God for these things and also for forgiveness. Forgiveness when they've gotten off course. But what's surprising is that the majority of people surveyed said that God does not often answer their prayers. God does not often answer their prayers. It seems strange, doesn't it? There are times when we believe but do not receive. What we ask for in prayer does not pan out. And when that happens, it's important to look at how we're praying, what's in our hearts, why we're asking God for the things we want. The problem could be our intention. Our intention. What we're asking for in our hearts may not be the purest of desires. What we desire may not be good for us or could compromise our values in the end. So God doesn't grant it. Scripture says, who may go up the holy mountain? Who can stand in his holy court, in God's holy court? The answer, the clean of hand and pure of heart, who has not given himself, his soul, to useless things, things that are vain. He will receive blessings from the Lord, and you will receive blessings from the Lord and whatever else says up on there on the screen, blessings from the Lord and justice from his saving God. See, I was just testing you to see if you're reading. Justice from his saving God. Here's the principle. Before we can truly and fully receive God's goodness and grace, his abundance, healing, and every good gift, we first have to be willing to purify our hearts and to pray with purity. This is what St. Augustine wrote in a famous letter to a woman named Proba in the early 5th century. Proba was a widow. Her husband had been one of the wealthiest men in the Roman Empire. He had a lot of money, but after he died and Rome was invaded in the year 410, Proba and some of her women friends fled to North Africa for safety. They set up a community there where they could pray and live peacefully and practice their faith. Proba was a Christian. She believed in Jesus and wanted to follow him as best she could. But one day in church, she heard a passage read from one of the letters of St. Paul. It was from his letter to the Romans, chapter 8. The passage said, "We do not know how we ought to pray." Now, this confused Proba because she knew that one of the most important activities for every Christian is to pray and to pray often. But if we do not know how we ought to pray, she thought, what are we supposed to do? So she wrote a letter to her local bishop in the area, a man named Augustine, who later became Saint Augustine, one of the most famous and important saints in the history of the church. Somehow she got his attention. Did I mention she was wealthy? Anyway, somehow she got his attention. That was a joke. Somehow she got his attention. And he wrote a letter back. He wrote a letter back that has become one of the most important and profound works on prayer ever composed. And that letter is full of great advice. Things like, listen more than you speak in prayer. Don't use a lot of words. Stick to the basics when you pray. But the most important lesson Augustine taught in that letter was to have the right frame of mind, the right attitude, the right desire when we pray. In one part of the letter, he said to Proba, he wrote, God wants us to exercise our desire in prayer so that we may be able to receive what he is preparing to give us. Augustine went on to say that we should actually enlarge our desire because, according to him, the greater our desire, the larger our capacity to receive that gift, which is very great indeed. The problem, Augustine, in his view, was that people back then, like today, were so caught up in their day-to-day lives, the things they needed to get done, their work and family, that they often forgot what their truest and deepest desires actually were. And so Augustine warned that we need to be very careful what we ask for in prayer. We need to choose our words carefully. In other words, what he was saying is that when we pray, we have to have a pure and undivided heart. The problem is that it's easy to develop mixed motives in life without even realizing it. For example, maybe you're in a challenging, difficult relationship with someone, and you stay in it because you love that person, but maybe also because you're afraid of being alone. Or you go into work day after day at a company that does not recognize your value or appreciate your genius, a boss who continually overlooks you, but you keep going in because you like your work, you're good at it, and you believe in the mission of the company overall. But maybe also because you don't really believe in yourself, in your ability to go out and find another better job at a company that will value you. Or maybe you have a dream of writing a book like I do, or you want to be a social media influencer like I do. No, I don't want to be a social media influencer. There, I got a laugh. You guys are awake. All right. Or maybe you want to start your own business. You want to start your own business because you have something important to contribute to the world. But also maybe because you want to be famous, make a lot of money. We all have these mixed motives from time to time. Our desires are not always completely pure. It's part of being human. But when we approach God in prayer, when we turn to him, we should do our best to pray to him with pure hearts. And it's tempting. It's tempting to ask for things that are self-serving, for things that may satisfy us personally but may not be good for us or for others or for the world. Scripture says, you ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What did James mean? Well, let me give you a few examples. Let's just say you're sick and you pray for healing because you want to get back to your golf game. Nothing really wrong with that, unless having better health and spending more time on this earth to serve God's kingdom in some way never even crosses your mind. Or you pray for a promotion at work because you tell yourself it's for your family, better opportunities for your children, but deep down, you know, you also want that new sports car. Or you pray that God will finally take your elderly relative home to heaven. It's just so difficult to watch them suffer. But somewhere in the back of your mind, maybe even subconsciously, you're thinking, this would be such a break for me. I don't think I can keep going on with this. It's sometimes hard to admit the truth about our desires when we're not bringing our best to God in prayer. But God understands our hearts. He knows we're human. He just wants us to try to pray with the right intentions and to be in the best frame of mind when we pray. In fact, that's why God often waits before answering our prayers. He's waiting for us to purify our hearts, to purify our desires. In the first reading today, Moses was out tending his flock in the field. God appeared to him in the form of a burning bush and told him he was sending Moses to free the Hebrew slaves. God said, "I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers. So I know well what they are suffering. Therefore, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Sounds great. Good plan. Moses asked God then, "What is his name? What did he want to be called? How should he introduce God to the people?" God said, "I am who am, and forevermore he will be known as the great I am, the most perfect, complete being in and of himself." But that would not have been my first question if I had been Moses in that moment. My first question would have been, why? Why, God, after 400 years, do you finally decide to do something about the situation? I probably would have been struck down on the spot, but I would hopefully gotten an answer. Why? Why did you wait so long to intervene? You heard their cries. Well, Scripture actually has an answer for that. 500 years earlier, God spoke to the patriarch Abraham. Just stick with me for a second. He spoke to Abraham and told him that his descendants, the Israelites, would one day be enslaved for 400 years and then God would rescue them. Of course, that doesn't answer the question why it took 400 years. So God went on to tell Abraham that it was because the wickedness of the Amorites would not have reached its full measure until then. Okay, what does that mean? Well, the Amorites were people who lived in the same land that God was going to give the Israelites. But the Amorites worshipped false gods, prayed to idols, were not faithful to the Most High God, the one true God. And so God knew that the Amorites would eventually corrupt the hearts of the Israelites, lead them astray, get them off course if they lived in the same land together. God knew that he needed to keep the hearts of his people pure. But God also, like with everyone, loved the Amorites, even though they did not love him back. And he didn't want to destroy them or displace them, move them into exile. And God is patient. So he gave them plenty of time to change their ways, to get back on course, to purify their own hearts. This was the reason for the 400-year delay. That's how patient and loving our God is, how merciful and compassionate he is. But after 400 years, when they still had not changed their ways, God said, "It's time to free my people and bring them home." Same thing in the gospel today. Jesus told his disciples a story about the fig tree. First, he makes his point about repenting. It's kind of hard to hear. You know, you're going to perish like all these other people if you don't repent. I know, that's hard to hear. But then listen to what he says. He tells this story about this fig tree, and not once, year after year, not once had it produced a single fig. And the owner was fed up. He told the gardener to chop it down. He wanted to cut his losses and move on. It's understandable, right? Time is money. Plant was taking up space, exhausting the soil. But the gardener convinced the owner to wait, to be patient, to give it another year. He said, "I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future." This is how God is with us. Like with the fig tree, like with the Amorites for 400 years, God gives us everything we need, time, inspiration, and love to get back on track, to turn our hearts back to him, to purify our hearts before him. God is ready, willing, and able to answer all of our prayers. But first, he wants us to pray with a pure, pure heart. This is why Jesus said, "Seek the kingdom of God above everything else, and live righteously, and then God will give you everything you need." When you seek God's kingdom first, when you put your whole heart into it, when you pursue it with your whole heart, when you go after your destiny, your God-given purpose in life, with complete passion and total dedication, that's when you know that your hearts are pure and your prayers will be answered. I heard this story recently about a courageous priest in East Los Angeles. One day, he heard a knock on the door. Somebody told him that there was an incident going on in the church parking lot. A priest's worst nightmare, right? So he goes out to look, and he sees this young boy, 18 or 19, really a young man, 18 or 19 years old, no shirt on, covered with tattoos. He's screaming and shouting at the people coming out of church. He's threatening them. He seems to be out of his mind. Everyone is frightened. They're huddled against the church building, scared to move a muscle. The priest walks up to, this is a true story, walks up to the young boy, and he asks him, what is he doing? What are you doing? He said, I just got out of prison. This is my territory. It belongs to me. You better get those people out of there or there's going to be trouble. The priest looked at him with love and said, you seem to be hungry. The boy said, I am. The priest gave him $20, told him to go get some lunch. He left, and everybody was able to go home. Later, when the priest was asked about it, he said, there was no incident in the parking lot, just a human being, a hungry boy, and his name was Max. Me? I would have prayed for the police to get there in time. Handcuff him, lock him up, take him away, remove the threat, teach him a lesson. You don't do that at church or anywhere else. But this priest had a pure heart. In that moment, he could see with the eyes of God. If we can do that in prayer, if we can begin to see our own lives and our own prayers through the eyes of God and seek the kingdom of God first and ask for what is truly right and good, that's when God goes to work. That's when he will show out in our lives. He will answer our prayers, give us what we need, protect our families, bring us healing and wholeness, provide peace and abundance in every good thing. When our hearts are in the right place, our minds have the right attitudes, our desires are healthy, and we pray with purity.